It was 74 years ago, at the age of 22, that James Donald Walters came to Los Angeles to meet his guru. And he repeated, or he made that question to his guru, his future guru, "I want to be your disciple." And with those words, he defined his life for the rest of his life, for the rest of his years, until he passed on in 2013. And his life was defined by those words of discipleship, serving one's guru vigorously, full-heartedly, with every ounce of his being. And that was who Swami was. And maybe I should say that is who Swami is. And it was you could say the one thing. Somebody asked me the other day, what were the things that inspired you about Swami's life, about his discipleship? And I had to think for a little while, but not for long, because I realized it was this, his one-pointed dedication to that principle of serving his guru in this life, in every possible way he could, vigorously, within all his energy. And I said, that is who I want to be as well. And I took that as my model, and Swamiji supplied that for me and guided me in my journey. I remember a story that Swamiji told originally, but I also had read it in the biography of Ramakrishna Paramahansa from Calcutta. And he tells a story of a village woman who lives within the village, and she has children in her village and she has her family, but every day she goes to the local landowner and works in the home there, in the house, taking care of the children, cooking, doing whatever is needed as a servant in the house. And she applies herself one-pointedly to that service and does a marvelous job. But as Ramakrishna said in that story, he says, yet at all the time, where is her mind? Her mind is at her home. Her mind is at her village with her children. It's always in the back of her mind. That's where her heart is. And at the end of the day, she can't help but be eagerly. She goes home to her village. And in a sense, Ramakrishna, and of course Swamiji, in telling that story, use this as an illustration of how we as disciples live in this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And thinking back, this is exactly how Swami was. He was in the world serving vigorously as primary teacher for Self-Realization Fellowship, traveling the world, writing books, writing songs. He was constantly doing something creative, but not creative for his own sake, you might say. It was creative in order to serve his guru's work. And that's how he was. He was outwardly demonstrating how we might be in our service, but yet inside, it's like that poem of Masters, waking, eating, serving, sleeping, chanting, meditating, yet constantly humming, God, Christ, Guru. God, Christ, Guru. And you could see this in him. Now, when I first met Swamiji, naturally you meet somebody and you tend to define them by their outward actions, what they're doing outwardly, wonderful speaker, charming storyteller, all of the outward things, and a very wonderful man in that way. But I came to learn that there was another side to him, the side that perhaps many people, when they came to meet Swami at first, didn't see that deeper side. And I remember a story once, an experience that I had with Swami. He was giving a satsang at his dome there over at Ayodhya. And maybe 20, 30 people were there. It was very festive. I don't remember the exact occasion, but it was a lot of laughter. There was a lot, and it was very outward. And at that time in my life, I was a little less tolerant of some things. And I came to the satsang, and I was sitting there and I saw all these people around me. They're very outwardly worldly in my mind. Now, that was a judgment. I was wrong about that. But nevertheless, I saw it that way. And I was just critical in my mind. I was going, why are people being like this so outwardly? And Swamiji, why are you letting these people be like this? You know, because it was not really, in my mind at least, a very spiritual atmosphere. Very party-like, you might say. And as I was, this was going through my mind, and as I was criticizing. And in the midst of that, Swami looked at me, and he penetrated me. I felt like a penetration beam coming at me. And he says, don't you understand what's going on here? Don't you understand? You know, because I was critical of the raucousness of the situation, but I was also a little critical of Swami. Swami, why are you doing that? What's going on? And he looked, and I could see, like he would speak about Master. Master would be very outward and engaged in what was going on, but if you looked into his eyes, you could see he wasn't there. It was somewhere else. Something else was going on. And that's that look that he gave me. And I said, oh, I understand. He's doing the appropriate thing. In a sense, if I learned a lesson from Swami, be appropriate. The appropriate situation for what was trying to happen at that moment. But he wasn't there. He was God, Christ, Guru. And this is the mark of discipleship. He was a disciple in everything he did, even the worldly things that had to be done outside. He did them to the best of his ability as an appropriate way, because yes, those too had to be done, those too. And that's what he was teaching me. He says, you have to be balanced in your life as a disciple, because we represent a great master in all aspects of life. Now in India, there is a celebration. It's the month of June, July. It's called Ashada. And in that month of June, July, there is a very major festival at that time. It's called Guru Purnima. And we hear sometimes, we celebrate it here as well, Guru Purnima, where you honor the Guru. But the thought came to me, and when I was thinking about this talk today, and we're not honoring so much the Guru. And if we look back to the autobiography of the yogi, how does he start that autobiography, Master, that very first paragraph? Characteristic features of Indian culture, the concomitant qualities of search for eternal verities, and the guru, the disciple-guru relationship have sustained India throughout the centuries. The importance, he started the autobiography with that, disciple-guru relationship. But yet in India, we celebrate the guru. I don't know of a festival that celebrates the disciple. And I think that is what we are putting in motion here, because both are of supreme importance. It's not easy to be a true disciple, a good disciple. Swami dedicated his life to that. And when asked, what would you like to be remembered for? He would said, I'd like to be remembered for he was a good disciple. Now that's not easy. A life of total dedication. So in a sense, here we have it, Ananda, where I think we're initiating a new tradition here, a festival of the disciple. Purnima, you might say. It's not the full moon. Purnima means the full moon, but it's on the day of full moon. But yet, this day of September 12th represents that. And Swamiji came with that message. And Guru Purnima, just as it celebrates one's individual guru, it's often when you'll put flowers before the individual guru, or whatever one's tradition is. And sometimes it's forgotten in the celebration that we're really celebrating not the individual, we're celebrating the principle of the guru, which is not all that well understood often. In the same way, here we are this evening, we are celebrating discipleship, Swami's in this form of Swamiji's discipleship. But I think also we need to understand that we're celebrating, or commemorating, maybe a good word, we're commemorating and honoring the role of the disciple. And this is something that's very important, because you could say, and Swami has said this often, that discipleship is the essence of the spiritual path. Acting as the attitudes that go with that, the openness of heart that allows us to be able to receive God's grace, is to be able to relinquish and, you might say, transcend and offer up in self-offering, offering up that little self, that little ego self. That is the essence of what discipleship is. And how do we, you could say, deepen that discipleship? It's through the process of attunement. And attunement, of course, is very easily identified, if we choose to, serving the guru. And who, if we look back in the particular, who served as guru? With body, mind, heart, soul, and all his strength. It was Swamiji setting that example. And yes, he did, but remember something he always told us also. Remember, the great ones come into this world not to tell us how great they were. They come to tell us how great we can be ourselves. And so this is the message, you could say, I think, Swamiji. He is like that lady in the village, serving with heart and soul in every way possible. This is what we did. And he's calling us to do that. You know, he grew up in a very well-to-do family, but you could say, I think it's fair to say, that he was an unhappy young man. Why? He knew intuitively, lifetimes perhaps from the past, he knew something was missing. And what was it, of course? What was missing was God. God was missing. And when he read that autobiography and he says he traveled across the country immediately, he went to fulfill and fill that hole that was in his heart. And by meeting his guru and pledging his service, pledging his life to the guru with all his heart, mind, and soul, he was able to fill that hole that he felt as a young man. And this is what all of us, and I think we take Swamiji as our example, because each of us too, I think all of us in some point in our lifetime, in order, you might say, our lifetime as a devotee coming onto the spiritual path, we felt that hole, something was missing. And I think using Swamiji as that example of how we might fill it is we become disciples. But discipleship doesn't end by just taking a vow. That vow needs to be acted upon. And so each of us, in however we act in our day-to-day life, whatever we do, think of it as acting as a disciple, because that's what we are. We're representatives. That is our spiritual identity. Yes, we're a Kriyaban. Yes, we do that in an act of discipleship. As a disciple, we act in whatever it is we do in this life. We buy groceries. We relate to that grocer as a disciple. We act, and this is again coming back to that story I said of myself, we act appropriately in every situation as a disciple. And in the back of our mind, as we're acting, as we're doing, whatever it is, God, Christ, Guru, God, Christ, Guru, Om Guru.